Today we'll be speaking on the subject where honor is due. Exodus chapter 20, specifically in verse number 12, but we will read from verse number 1. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Verse number 12, once again, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you, where honor is due. It's an interesting thing. I feel like in the culture that we live in, honor is less and less a part of who we are. That we have so little respect for other people's ideas, so little respect for other people in general, that you can't hardly go anywhere and you might say something that people say, well, that's just hate speech. And sometimes I think that we are saying it as hate speech. And we need to really consider what is the Lord saying. Now, in this context, specifically talking about honoring your father and your mother, but it has implications throughout who we are. This isn't the only place that this concept is talked about. Jesus talks about it to the rich young ruler as he comes and sits before him and says, how shall I be saved? And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. And the young man says, which ones? And of the four Jesus mentions in that place, honor your father and your mother is one of them. Paul writes about it as he's talking about relationships within the family. He says, children, obey your parents. And then goes on to say, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, which has a promise. Now, it's not the first commandment, obviously, but it's the first one that's followed by a promise as God spoke it. Deuteronomy tells us that God stood in the mountain, in the cloud, in the fire, and a great voice spoke out, speaking these words. Jesus, in his whole concept of not coming to be served, but to serve, in his whole concept of giving his life, it was all a concept in elevating us. And that we are valuable to him. There's an honor in that process. Paul is speaking in Philippians. He says, listen, we should be people of humble minds and attitudes who actually consider the other person more important than ourselves. Honor. I recognize, and we'll talk about this at length in the later on, that we sometimes get the concept that honor is given where honor is due. And that's even what I said right in the title, where honor is due. But the definition of where honor is due is not often how we describe it. We describe it as those who we deem worthy to be honored. If they have hurt us, if they are wrong types of people, then we do not honor them. And very often, the people closest to us are the ones that can hurt us the most and sometimes receive that no honor from us. Jesus, God himself, I think at times experiences that from us, where we begin to think that somehow what God is doing, what he has done, has hurt us rather than helped us. Where was he in the midst of our great trial? God, why are you letting me go through this? What are you doing? And sometimes people are so hurt in those kind of situations that they push away from God entirely. And they don't want to be hearing the words of the Lord or giving Him any honor at all. So let's talk for just a moment about this concept, specifically looking at it as honoring your father and your mother, and then how that gives implications to the rest of our life. First of all, what does honor look like? What does honor look like? Now, it's interesting because in the world where we live in, we know that there are times when it's somebody's special day. Maybe you were like me and my wife's family as we were growing up. When somebody had a birthday, of course, we all had dinner together, and it typically wasn't going out. It was, we made a special dinner, and the table was all set, and in one place there was this, in our case, blue and white plate that said, "You are special," or "Happy birthday," you know, and then you got the place of honor. The Bible talks about even being careful about how that honor is given. Don't give those front seats to people just because you know they have wealth or they can do something for you. That's a misplaced honor. You're giving honor in a situation that's not what you base honor on. But so often that's what we do. But there is this kind of preferment that happens. When honor is given, it is somebody being preferred. And in our context where we're talking about honor your father and your mother, think to yourself today, in your own life, do you give your parents preferment? Do they have a place in your life that says, "You're more important than me"? Now, some of you, your parents are gone. Some of you are looking at me and thinking, "You don't know my mom and dad." Well, we're going to talk about that in a bit. I also think what we have to recognize, honor is not humor. Okay, sometimes we look at this commandment as, "Thou shalt humor thy father and thy mother." Because especially those that are 16, 18, 25, 30, somewhere in that range of life, there's this sense that mom and dad just aren't connected to reality. They don't know what it's like to live in the world that I live in. And we sometimes will say, "Yeah, sure, Dad, that's good. Let's do it your way." And then we'll roll our eyes and go, "Oh, my goodness." Yeah, because the commandment isn't humor your father and your mother. It's honor them. And we need to be careful that it's not just with lip service. It's not just with activity that says, "Yes, we'll humor you in this moment." We need to actually be careful to say, "No, this is really me giving honor to my father and my mother." So a couple of things that we might consider in terms of what does that look like today. Well, one is answer their phone call. Now, I recognize there are times when you can't, but we live in a world, right, where it's the phone rings and we pull it out of our pocket or we pick it up off the desk or we look at it and we says, "Oh, it's mom. I don't have time for that." Now, that was just for the few of you that still have a flip phone, you know. And I agree there are times in life when you're driving and maybe you don't have it hooked up Bluetooth or you are in a place where you're having an important meeting or you're working or doing something and it's impossible to answer the phone. And the truth is, in years gone by, the phone would have rang and you wouldn't have known who it was and you'd have let the answering machine answer it. So I'm not talking about those settings. I'm talking about the time when you literally look at your phone and think it was mom or it was dad. And you said, I don't have time for that right now. But you really did. The other thing is maybe take initiative once in a while to actually pick up the phone and call them. You know, those are little things to say, "I will honor my father and my mother." But how do we actually take this commandment of the Lord, which is talked about several times through Scripture, how do we take this commandment and apply it in our lives so that our mother and our father actually understand that they hold a position of honor in our life? Now, obedience and honor are two different things. I talked about Paul saying, children, obey your parents. And there is a season where obedience is the requirement. But there is a lifetime where honor is the requirement. Why honor? Why should we honor our parents? I find it interesting that just in the last commandment, when we talked about the Sabbath day, that the creation was the kind of reasoning for celebrating the Sabbath and following the pattern that the Lord had set, where he worked 6 days and then he rested on the seventh, where there is a sense of creation being elevated. And I think, honestly, that that's the biggest reason for this commandment. You would not exist. I would not exist except our parents created me. And creation has a implication in this process. Not only does how we honor our parents because of the position they have in our life affect that whole moment, but it also affects what we look and think about God. Because he created us all. And the world that we live in, and the universe that our world is a part of. God is the creator. And we owe honor for that reason. Why honor? Because it changes who I am. It changes who I am. I receive something because I decide to honor the Lord in several ways. One is I sow into my own life the seeds of honor. Now, we've talked about many times that you reap what you sow. And we have to understand that what we have done in terms of honoring our parents actually will impact our children and our grandchildren. And there's a reality that goes beyond who our parents are and what they have done, but it changes who we are. Secondly, this is the commandment with the promise, right? That you would be long in the land that I have given you, that you would live long. I find it, you know, we struggle maybe sometimes when things don't match up with our understanding of what it should be. When I was 18 years old, my brother, who was 20 at the time, was just a great young man. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. He honored his parents, and he died of cancer. And so you think, well, what does this live long mean? Because I don't necessarily understand that. And of course, people are better in hindsight than maybe they were. There were a lot of times that my brother beat me up, but he was still, from what I think about honoring, he honored his parents. So somehow this can't just mean years. This has to mean something else in that context. And I think it has to do with depth of experience. I think it has to do with richness of experience. I think it has to do with also length of experience. But God says that not only will we be transformed, but our experience in that process. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. And part of receiving that life is living a life of honor, specifically to our parents. Why honor? Because it changes us, but it changes the home. I know some of your stories, and I know that the home life hasn't always been wonderful. But if we will take the initiative of honor, we actually have the opportunity to change the home that we live in. We change the nation that we live in. Now, honestly, it's possible that really God, as he was giving this commandment, it was heard as a national understanding, heard as a national kind of process, that the days would be not as much personal, but would be more in terms of a nation experience, because God had just brought them out of Egypt. He was given the Ten Commandments. He was leading them to a promised land. He was going to give them a nation for them and for their children and for all posterity. He was going to make certain that there would be a people, that out of those people would come the root of Jesse, would come the Savior, would come the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there was this sense that God was saying, I have a process for you to live, and in order to really experience all that I have for you, make this as part of who you are. Honor your father and your mother. And you will experience long days in the land that I'm giving you. Now, you know their story. It's very similar to ours, because we all struggle with this kind of process of keeping the ways of the Lord and living according to the ways of the Lord. I have a feeling when God gave these commandments that there were parents in that group who weren't good parents. And very often that's where we end up struggling with this whole process. Many, many in this room and many people that we know have had parents that were abusive, have had parents that were absent. I mean, the truth is you can go down the line and you can come up with an A through a Z word for how parents have mistreated their children. And sometimes to think about this as a process, how in the world can I honor somebody who has hurt me so badly, becomes hard, becomes difficult. So I would just offer a couple of things, because when I think about this concept of how honor is not with us much anymore, and very often we think there are reasons. As I was considering it this week, I began to think about Presidents Obama and President Trump. And I was thinking about President Obama, and I realized that for 8 years, it was the advent of social media in many ways, and how cruelly many people in the church talked about President Obama, and how hateful many of the things that were said about President Obama. Whether it's from the church or from the world, both, it happened. And now I think about President Trump, and I think about how many hateful things are out there all the time. And the truth is, it's from the church, and it's from without the church again. And I ask myself the question, where has honor gone? Because if you look at just media in general, very often those two presidents aren't even called President Obama or President Trump. They're just called by their last names. And very often those last names are said with some kind of passion, usually negative, behind it. And I think to myself, in the 80s, I remember I was a minister of music. I was fairly young, and we started doing a 4th of July concert in the park in Albany. I guess that was in the 90s. And we would invite every civic leader in the community to come and be honored. Now, I just want to tell you a little secret that they may not have known. And that is that many of those people that we invited to be honored may not have received a single vote from anybody in the church, because they were not necessarily good people. But they were elected to hold an office of authority. They were part of the community who were giving of their life and their time to give back to the community. And I'll be honest with you, whether I agreed with them or not, they were worthy of honor. And it's true of every leader we have in our life. We, for instance, there have been some 15 or 16 pastors of this church through the years. And each pastor has a choice to, as they come into this position, to say, I honor the person before me or I don't. There will be a pastor after me, and I'll guarantee you that the pastor who is the next pastor, there will be some things that I do that he won't want to do. There will be some things that I'm not doing that he'll want to do. And the deal is that even when we hit those places, we make choices to say, I embrace this, I let go of this, I begin this. But do I do them with honor or not? And you think about every position in your life that has any kind of authority, and you recognize, how do I respond to that? Because there are many people in authority in your life who you don't necessarily like or think is doing a good job. What do you do in that moment? And this whole concept of honoring your father and your mother, especially when you feel like they've been abusive or absent or not positive influence in your life, what do you do in that moment that actually has implication for every other area of your life? I will say this. Two things that I would just throw out as a suggestion. One is this. Do not be actively hateful. We have a choice. The words we say, the things that we write on our walls on Facebook, we have a choice whether those things are actively hateful or not. And the reality is that we need to make the choice. If we are going to honor our father and our mother along with other authorities in our life, if we're going to honor what God wants to happen in us, then we need to choose not be actively hateful. Now, specifically, if your parents were a negative influence in your life, don't be actively hateful to them. Second thing is, build a better culture. You proactively make a difference to make it better. First, in your home, in your relationship with your parents. I'm not asking you to have tea with them every Sunday. But do something proactively to make it better. Those two things could change the world, the nation that we live in, if we would choose not to be actively hateful and we would choose to proactively make things better. I think in many ways that what God is setting up for us in this whole culture of honor, in this whole culture that Philippians carries on with of saying, consider the other person as more important than yourself, this culture of preferring somebody else, I think what God is setting up is the generational kind of steps forward. Because we don't live in heaven yet. Right? We don't live there yet. So everything that you read, every step, it seems like there's a generational step forward if men and women will allow themselves to do that. To live with a culture of honor rather than a culture of disrespect. We've been reading through the Old Testament and reading many times when this king's son suddenly started doing great things. But this great king who died, his son went back to the old evil ways. And they weren't taking that step forward each time. But we have, if we will adopt the culture of honor, specifically honoring our father and our mother, we have the opportunity to make forward advances every generation that comes. If the reality is that there is a day coming that we will live in a perfect culture of honor. That's what heaven will be. If that's the reality, and Jesus taught us to pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When do we begin? Do we allow the negative experience of our life to inform the way that we'll believe? Do we allow that to be an excuse to say, I will let this excuse me from following this commandment because of who they are? If we do, we throw away so much. And if the day is coming when we will actually honor our parents and God and honor all others, then why not begin now? Or do we just keep holding on to the excuse? But we have it within our hands to make a different choice, to not be actively hateful, to proactively make things better and see this generation take a step forward so that the generation after us can take another step forward, so that the generation after them can take another step forward, so we continually move in the direction that God has planned for us. Honor your father and your mother. So that your days here may be long, so that you may experience this that God has promised for you in the greatest depth, in the widest richness, for the longest time. Let me invite you to stand with me this morning. Let me invite the worship team to return. And let me invite you to take a step toward the Lord. You know, today I felt like when I was preparing this one, I'm going, man, everybody is like easy with the other commandments, but they're gonna throw tomatoes at me when I start talking about honoring people that many of us experience. Wow, life with my parents was great. I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. But many of us have experienced different things. I remember experiences with my own parents that were not positive. Now, overall, my experience with my parents was good. But even in that situation where you think, I've got good parents who introduced me to Jesus early, I can think of more than one occasion that it was like, I wish I didn't remember that. But we have a choice. We have a choice. And our choices will change our lives and the generations to come. So this morning, maybe you're just thinking, I want to give thanks to the Lord for my parents. I want to give thanks to the Lord for who they are. Maybe you're thinking, man, I'm going home and calling Dad. I don't know. But maybe you're thinking, I can't get past this. And I'm too scarred. And I would just invite you for a God who gave himself for you to just lay it at his feet. Cast your cares on him. Let him care for you. Lord God, this morning, as we've looked at your word and we've considered what that means for our life, Lord, I pray that you would help me. Help me to hold on to what is good and help me to let go of what is hurtful, of what has caused pain. Help me, Lord God, to be the person who would choose to say, I'm going to step first and I'm going to start living and start honoring my father and my mother and see your hand at work in my life. Your ways transforming not only me, but the world around me. And I pray, Lord God, that each one of us here would just in a very personal way really confess our faults to you, Lord, and ask for your help. I ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close the service, these altars are open. If you want to come and spend some time in prayer, there'd be someone to pray with you. Maybe you want to spend some moments alone. Either way, the Regals will be out in the lobby, I'm sure, if you want to have some conversation about what Germany or Switzerland's like or what it's like to be a missionary there. May God add his blessing. Even as he's already given us his son, Jesus, may we walk in the light of his love. And may we experience his presence. God bless you, and God be with you.